Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Good show this week. We've got Chris Long, podcast host, former NFL Super Bowl champion, also doing some work. Amazon Prime Thursday night pregame show. And he's a regular. If you listen to the podcast regularly, you know Chris is always entertaining. So we get into the Packers-Cardinals game on Thursday night. A lot of gambling talk with Chris. And Chris was on the Manning cast. He talked about what that was like. And we talk about Tom Brady on the Manning cast this week and Tom's overall personality and that personality coming out post-Belichick. And then Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata follows Chris Long, where we talk about, I have a little rant about the college football overtime rule, the buzz of the World Series, what's going on with the Knicks Bing Bong slogan, and the season premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm is covered in the Train of Thoughts segment. So that's this episode. Before we get to it, just a reminder, if you missed last week, Steve Levy, the voice of Monday Night Football and also NHL on ESPN, it was on the podcast along with Jeff Garlin from Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that was a great episode 2 weeks ago. John Oran from Sports Business Journal and Alan Sepinwall. 3 weeks ago, Kyle Brandt. 4 weeks ago, Stephen A. Smith. Check those out if you missed any of those into the archives and give those a listen, a download, and subscribe and review the podcast. All right, here we go. This week, Chris Long followed by Train of Thoughts right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular, host of the Green Light Podcast and also a host on NFL Next on Amazon Prime every Thursday night before Thursday night football at 7 o'clock Eastern. One of our favorites, Chris Long. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Jimmy, what's the word, dude?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm not bad. Yeah. I feel like I'm finally getting a break. October was crazy.
Why do you feel like you have a break now? I mean, this is like knee-deep NFL season. You got Amazon on Thursday nights in addition to the pod. Like, how is this a break?
It's all relative, man. We had like multiple foundation events on the weekends, and then I had to go to Vegas, which is a thing I hate saying, like I had to go to Vegas, but I had to go to Vegas for work. Now that, you know, our overlords of the win and Blue Wire. So we went out there, brought the whole production crew out there, got back Monday afternoon. I think we're just coming out of that like post-Vegas funk over here.
How long were you in Vegas?
Friday night till Monday morning. So like the perfect time. To me, three nights is the perfect time because you can just you can spend your energy any way you wish. Night one, night two, night three. But for me, it's like I just go all out the first two nights, and the third night I end up with a gummy in the hotel room eating Wynn room service, which is like a vacation still.
Right. Now tell me, Friday, Saturday, did you hit table? Like what are the casino games that you
play? I didn't hit a single table. I don't play casino games. Like,
so just sports betting.
Yeah. To me, at least like, let me think I have an angle, you know, like I walk in there, I feel totally naked. I feel like everybody knows not only how to play better than me, but also like I could fuck up at the table easily. All the etiquette, all the like, don't do this, don't do that. Like, I'm afraid of getting yelled at by the people at the tables. Like, that's a really bad feeling.
Well, that, I mean, if you play roulette, there's really none of that. It's, you know, blackjack, you can get into some trouble. I've actually gotten threatened at a craps table because I play the don't pass. I play against the table. And there have been some very heated moments, but if you play roulette, you can't really do anything that'll piss anyone off, except the way like people hover over when they throw the chips on the numbers.
I don't know what any of this means, dude. I just play 21. That's blackjack. Yeah.
Yeah. Well there you could piss people off.
And is roulette that you just bet black or red?
Well, and the numbers. And
you that's usually what I do if I'm feeling like, if I'm still drunk from the night before and it's my last morning in Vegas, like on the way out, I might just put all my winnings on like black or whatever. And then leave. And usually I watch it all burn down. But today or the other day, I actually got to walk out of the sports book with a good chunk of money. So I felt good about that.
So it's funny. I saw a tweet about a half hour ago. I just found it. It's from David Payne Purdom. And he has the Nevada, listen to this, Nevada casino net winnings in September. This is how much the casinos made in Nevada in September. Blackjack, $92 million. Craps, $37 million. Roulette, $42 million. Sports, $54 million. And then the slots, $315 million. Now, I never ever... play the slots in my life.
Never would. People are betting the least on the slots, and they're giving them the most.
I mean, it is. I mean, there is an analogy there. There's a symbolism there about like flushing your money down the toilet, like pulling that lever when you put the coins in. But it's interesting to me. The sports is at 54 million with blackjack at 92. And then the slots, 315 million people lost on slots in Nevada in September.
First off, I'd love to be somebody who like designs slot games, like just dress up creative ways to have people enjoy pissing their money away, like an aquarium theme game, like a, you know, an Old West theme game. Like you could just do, it's a buck hunter theme slot game. Like I love that part of it. What do you make of the differences in how much money went to each vice?
Well, if I haven't been to a casino in a while because of COVID and all that, but whenever you go through a casino and every chair at those slot machines is taken and there are people sit there for hours pouring coins.
Zombies.
And how do they not realize they're just pissing their money away? I mean,
they're
it's bored. All pissing
they're
your money
vacation,
away.
But they're bored. They don't have a big budget. They're just like, I'm going to lose $100 on this vacation. I'm going to do it over 3 days.
I don't understand. I don't understand what the thrill is with the slot machine. It's like an electronic thing. It's so like with roulette, there's a legitimate high that you get when that white ball is spinning.
Right. I mean, I get it. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I'm like, God, this feels good. I'm just watching people do it. It's like voyeuristic. Yeah. But like when people are at the slot machines, I think it's just kind of a routine, like a thing you do and you got to have a cigarette. I feel like you have to have a cigarette to play a slot machine.
That's another reason why I don't want to be near the slot machines.
Oh my gosh. You can get secondhand smoke big time. You can get emphysema from the woman at the slot machine. If you just stop to look at, you know, what she's doing. No, but the sports book, man, I'm finally getting the hang of the sports book. I used to go to Vegas and lose a lot. You know, I'd win some, I'd lose some in the sports book, but now I'm actually getting decent at gambling, Jimmy. Like I really am. And on our show, we got to have Alan Berg on, who's like the Wynn senior trading guy. So he got to break down kind of like, this was so interesting on our Sunday night show. It was like, we broke down some football, but this guy was explaining all the ins and outs, not all of them, obviously, but he was like the Wizard of Oz. So I'm finally understanding football gambling a little bit and I'm not losing money. I'm not hemorrhaging cash this fall.
That's a good thing. That's
it's a
thing.
Really good thing.
All right,
dude.
So let me ask you this. Even though you're winning and you're not hemorrhaging cash this fall, tell me what your worst, most painful loss of the season has been so far. And I don't mean in terms of money. I mean in terms of the
just
way it broke
beat.
Down in the game. Yeah. Have you had one of those?
I've had a few of those, I'm sure. I mean, last year the worst one was Bucks money line. I talk about this on my pod all the time. The Bucks money line. The 38-3 primetime game that they lost to the Saints the second time around. Don't bet against Brady. They're at home. They're rounding into form. He's got his offense, all that shit. I jumped out of the gym. And this is back when I had a bookie. My bookie was like, you sure? And I was like, I'm positive.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. And then, cause I was chasing and then I ended up down big. So, that one stuck in my head. The bad beats are great. Like I love watching Scott and Steve, like everybody else does, talk about them. Actually, we got a shout out from those guys. Macon got a shout out. Virginia is involved in a lot of bad beats. You need to go look up the Virginia bad beat from last year that they had on there. I can't remember which team, but it involved us running the wrong play out of the end zone in garbage time. We ran like a trick play backed up on our own 5 with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And basically turned the ball over, and we were up 40, and the other team covered. So Virginia is always involved in the bad beats.
Obviously, there are a lot more college football games than NFL games each week, but the bad beats are way worse than college. I mean, that's one thing that Van Pelt and Stanford Steve have hit on perfectly. He's doing it with college. The college bad beats are so much worse than the NFL, because in the NFL, even the most pathetic teams, whether it's the Jets, whoever, They have some semblance of knowing what they're doing, as bad as they are. In college, these kids sometimes, they have no idea what they're doing. You can't, every field goal and extra point, it could be from 20 yards out, is an adventure. So the bad beats in college, I feel like, are so much more painful than the ones in the NFL.
They're brain farts. And you know, these kids have some brain farts every now and again. They're tired. They've had class all week. They're not pro football players, although now, you know, at least they're getting a little change in their pockets various ways. But like, I will say this, it's designed like that for a reason, because maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of shitty at college football betting. And then I'm getting good at Sunday betting. I always go into Sunday chasing. Like, it might just be a few hundred dollars, or it might be like whatever, but I'm going to chase going into Sunday. So half the battle is, and I get drunk on Saturday, right? So that's my day to get drunk. I feel like I'm really paying for my enjoyment. I'm putting in bad bets. I'm betting like the Hawaii game at midnight.
You can't bet when you're drunk. You just can't. Come on.
Vegas would make an eighth of their money, dude. I feel like everybody's sauced when they put these bets down.
You were about to touch on something that I will say. It is when you have a rough Saturday and you've lost some money, and you know, you're betting all day, and it's been, and then you get that 10 o'clock, 10:30, Pac-12, ESPN. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You're guessing at that point. Mm-hmm. It's all bad at that point.
Hawaii is involved midnight. In taking more people's money than any team in the country, because you're at a bar.
Bailout.
Or
bailout.
You're at home, like, you're looking at your little WinBet app or whatever in bed. You know, and wife's like, "What? Why is your phone so bright? What are you doing on your phone?" I'm like, "I'm just putting in a Hawaii bet. I read the scores of all their games this year. I mean, like, what the fuck do I know?" Yeah,
but that's
you wake up mad at the NFL, and then you bet poorly on Sunday.
My favorite is when I wake up at like 3:34 a.m. to pee. And I go to the score app and I see Hawaii didn't cover, and then it makes it even rougher to go back.
Dude,
to bed.
I'll put bets in that I forget about. I put a bet in a couple weeks ago. It was a parlay, and it was like going to pay out like 7-1, and it was a sizable parlay, I guess. And the last leg was the Bills beating the Titans money line on Monday night, and there were a lot of things that had to fall for this to come down. But I bet it on Saturday night, or technically Sunday morning, and forgot about it. And I watched the entire Monday night game and didn't bet it, thinking, this is nice. This is self-control. I can just enjoy the game. I was even rooting for the Titans kind of at the end, like, good for them. Good for you. Hey, and
everyone loves an underdog.
And I wake up Tuesday morning and check my account, and I'm like down a few hundred dollars. And I'm saying to myself, I didn't even bet the game. Well, I forgot about putting the parlay down Saturday night. And it happens all the time to me. I put the same bet in twice this year. Luckily, I won. But yeah, don't bet on Saturday nights unless you want a real adventure on Sundays.
That's funny. We got to talk about football, but I'll give you my worst loss of the season, because I still can't get over it. Two Thursday nights ago, Bucks at Eagles.
I had a rough one too there.
And my big bet on that game was a prop bet over 1.5 rushing yards for the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, I know the one.
Last drive of the game, he gets a 3-yard run.
Yeah.
Popping the champagne, ready to go, marking it on the pad.
Popping the champagne.
And then he took knee number one, brought him down to 2 rushing yards.
I took 2 knees.
Knee number two, down to 1 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And then on knee number 3, he went forward, but they called it no gain and left him at 1 rushing yard for the game. Clock runs out. I had over 1.5, and that was a rough one.
That's brutal. You know, they say never bet against Tom Brady. Never bet on Tom Brady's legs, man. That's really tough, and me and Macon have a Thursday night time machine thing where we try to predict the score. And the loser at the end of the year has to go to the Waffle House. That's how I ended up at the Waffle House. Macon is like a savant on Thursday night. He will pick the exact score of the games. Doesn't watch, just picks the exact score of the games. Anyways, it was a situation where I needed the Bucks to win by more. And you remember that whole sequence. Not only did they go for it at the 40 to give the Eagles a short field, the Eagles closed the distance, then the Bucks went the entire length and your whole situation ran happened, clock, but also yeah. mine. They ran the clock out at the five. So yeah, it was a bad beat for me in another way, but that was a rough one, especially as an Eagles fan. You know, I'm doing the emotional hedge and I get none of it.
If anyone's listening who doesn't know, Macon is Chris's partner on his Greenlight podcast, which you can check out wherever partner podcasts are found. I mentioned you do the Amazon Prime pregame show, 7 o'clock Eastern on Amazon on Thursday nights. I have to admit, I'm pumped up. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like Packers Cardinals is going to be great. I'm fired up. It kind of sucks that we have this COVID thing now with the Packers. It's taken a little bit out of it because that to me, you know, is the best game of the year. The Bucks Patriots, obviously most hype because it's Brady going back. Best game of the season is going to be Thursday night there so far, at least, you know, 7 weeks in. Kind of sucks that the Packers, you know, and who knows? I mean, we're taping this on Wednesday. They got a couple more days where, you know, you're hoping, you know, people in the protocols aren't spreading the COVID.
What a short memory you have, though. We just had Browns Broncos, man.
Browns Broncos.
That was awesome. Do you remember that running back nobody had heard of?
The Broncos are rough to watch. They're one of the teams on a Sunday that I'm not really geared up for or locked in on.
Yeah, you know why? Because they're just good enough not to be like an absolute dumpster fire. And I want to watch the Jaguars before I want to watch. No offense to my producer, Taylor, who's back there. But like, I want to watch the Jaguars. If I want to watch a team, I want to watch like Jags Falcons. I want to watch something like that. I don't want to watch a moderately competent football team kind of lose games gradually through the four quarters. The Broncos are tough, but this one's going to be awesome, man. With or without, I just want to see. I do get off on seeing like people shorthanded trying to figure things out. Like that's something that as a football player I enjoy. Aaron, obviously the Packers missing multiple All-Pro players, not how they drew it up. And then you hear Lazard. I had heard some rumblings that maybe there was going to be some more COVID stuff coming down. So I put the balls in the wheelbarrow and went Cardinals money line relatively big. So then the Lazard news came out and I was like, well, it wasn't Aaron or anybody. But still, I mean, you're down to Randall Cobb and a few guys and Tonyan. And I just think it's going to be really interesting because it's a bad matchup for Green Bay in a lot of ways. The only way that they can hang around in this game is they have to be aces on third down because they're going to be in a lot of like conversion situations. They've lost the ability a little bit to take the top off the defense. They don't have that number one who's going to scare people. Randall Cobb's going to have to be big in the red zone if they get there. They're going to have to be big at the sticks and they're going to have to run the ball, you know, which is something that you can actually do against the Cardinals. But Green Bay has been anything but, you know, dominant in that area. So pass rush is scary. On the other side, you know, for Aaron, and they're going to have to work with timing and they got to play some cover too. They got to keep things in front of them and make Arizona earn it. Kind of like people have been making Kansas City do.
I think I would be surprised if the Packers defense can slow down Arizona. I agree. I think the Packers have that defense that against bad teams, they play well. And against good teams, they're going to struggle. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great game. So that's a great one for you to – what do you know, like, what's the – let's see. What's Thursday night after that week? You've got
– I'm one at a time here. I let my
– Jets at Colts. Jets at Colts.
Good.
So what are you going to do on the pregame Lord knows, show
Kay's
for that
gonna be Kay's just going to be asking me about Carson Wentz. I've become the resident Carson Wentz guy. And everybody, when he's playing shitty – smiles and asks me questions, and then when he's playing well, they ignore it. So I'll be
he's playing well now, that's for sure.
Well, he's playing well. I mean, you know, like he's a quarterback who's going to help you win games if things are right around him. There are only a few guys that are going to be able to thrive in just abject chaos. I mean, and that's what you had in Philly last year. To a degree, some people might argue you have that a little bit this year there, and Jalen's been up and down. But I think Philly fans are seeing, I think people are seeing that, like, you would have heard he was just the devil incarnate by now in Indy, outside of the vaccination thing, which, you know, how I feel about the whole thing. I think he's been a pretty good teammate there, it sounds like. You saw him score that touchdown the other night, spike the football in the rain, and you got 11 guys crowding him. I mean, like, people like him, and he's playing well. He's playing efficiently. He's playing better. Listen, they beat the Ravens if it's not for that defense. You know, they beat the Ravens if it's not for that big comeback. And the Ravens, who I don't think are as good as people think, it's everybody's darling. So I think the Colts are going to be this team that, as the year goes on, they're truly going to get better because they're getting healthier, and Frank and Carson are rekindling that dynamic that they had in Philly, which is not going to be the exact same. You know, some of the stuff they ran has been dated a little bit.
Yeah, I'm happy that he's, you know, I think obviously it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out with, you know, him being back with Frank Reich, that's helped him tremendously. So, and listen, when he, you know, I'm not someone who has a team. So when I'm watching, I just give me good teams, competitive, fun players. He's a fun player when you watch him. The Colts have become a fun team to watch.
Whether he's throwing the ball right into the other guy's chest.
Yeah,
the
shovel and pass INT.
This is the thing, man. Like, that was an objectively stupid decision. Okay. Considering the weather and that sort of thing, but the ball slipped out of his hands. It's not like, you know, like, people, it depends on how much the internet likes the quarterback that we're talking about. Like, if that's somebody else, he's just trying to do too much. Maybe we don't talk about it at length, but it's Carson. So he's an easy punching bag. I thought over the last few games, he's had a lot of good moments. That was obviously a bad one.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Speaking of the internet, obviously the biggest thing in the NFL by far on the internet is the Manning cast. And you actually did the Manning cast. How was that experience for you?
Nerve-wracking, bro. I was so fucking nervous. I gotta tell you, I like right now is like me maximum chilled out. I'm talking to Jimmy, somebody I know. Like, I'm in my studio. I got people behind the desk there running the machines. Like, you do that thing on FaceTime, okay? That's scary, dude. FaceTime,
that's
is
why,
like,
it always looks like shit then.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean,
Use Zoom.
There's a delay, so that's tough. You know, there's going to be a delay coming in. I had done the preseason version of the Manning cast. Like, I was on their practice squad, and I got called up. So when I heard that I was going to be up there, I was like, well, who am I going to be with? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Matt Stafford, LeBron James, and Nick Saban. All right, so they put me after all these guys. I'm going to be in that spot where I got to follow these fucking famous people. And most people are probably like, who? And so I was just, when you get in there, you worry about, it's an interview over a football game. So, like, you're kind of like, do I, as a media member, like, when LeBron James is on, it's an interview where we want to hear what LeBron James has to say. When I'm on, people want me to add flavor to the game, you know, keep it light, support Peyton and Eli, but you don't want to step on them. Like, who wants to hear what I have to say football wise over Peyton and Eli? And I'm not interesting enough to just be interviewed. So I'm like in this kind of no man's land. And my whole thing is just don't embarrass yourself and don't step on Peyton and Eli. Let the game breathe, you know, because as you can see, a lot of the people that get on there, like Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He's never done a live Monday night hit. Think about it. He went from 0 to 100. He was in New England saying nothing. And now he's in Tampa and he's on with Peyton and Eli for 30 minutes, it feels like. And there's a delay and you got to get in and you got to get out. And Peyton and Eli are still figuring this thing out. So, like, you can see that no matter who you are, no matter what stage you've been on, it's a really tough thing right off the bat to, like, get in rhythm of. And it's a unique challenge. And I was nervous. Yeah.
So you said a lot there. First of all, you said that you're not interesting enough to be interviewed. So if that's the case, I'm in trouble since you're on my podcast.
Well, no, I'm interesting, but it's like there's a guy down the street who's really interesting, but nobody gives a fuck. It's the same thing with me relative to everybody else in sports media. Like, I was a real good player, but I'm not a superstar. You know what I'm saying? So, and I don't want to profess to be one.
But you're a superstar, like, tweeter, podcaster.
I don't want to be a superstar tweeter. Fuck Twitter,
there you
dude.
Are.
Fuck right, Twitter, listen. Dude. Wait, I don't want Charles Love on Twitter. Fuck Twitter.
All right, sure.
I don't want Twitter's love.
You mentioned Tom, who I thought was, I tweeted, based off the, if Tom, whenever he retires in 10 years and he wants to do games, he's going to be the greatest NFL analyst. He'll be better than Madden. Like, if based on what I saw, like, he was unbelievable. But let me ask you, because you touched on it. You played for the Patriots. You played for Belichick in the Super Bowl there. So And I've been on this theme where, you know, Tom as a buck is showing us so much more personality. I mean, the fact that this guy's doing a podcast, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's doing a podcast. Like, I would be like, who the hell wants to be bothered with this?
So, well, he has a brand that he, you know, is important. So,
but do you think getting out of New England, he decided, okay, I'm going to now show my personality, do some media stuff?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So is it, but does Bill shut that down, or is it
understood that this is the way we do things here. Like, we don't give as much, and Tom's like happy to play ball with that. I'm sure. But like, Tom, of course, is so interesting. Well, Tom is very personable, right? Like, I'm not saying he's going to knock your socks off with, you know, edgy stories or anything, but like, he's a football encyclopedia. And when you talked about him, you know, referring to the middle eight of the game, or talking about, you know, defenses he's seen, whether it was Rex Ryan's defense or the simplicity of Miami's, these are peaks under the hood that you don't get. And it's multiplied by having three quarterbacks, because just having Tom on made Eli and Peyton in the mood to talk about, like, hey, I'm not making a Deflategate joke because I'm team Deflategate really didn't fucking matter. I mean, like, the second half of the Indy game, they killed them. The Super Bowl, they beat one of the best defenses of all time with properly inflated footballs. But I almost felt like it was a Freudian slip. They started to talk about, like, game balls after Tom came on. And Eli was like, oh, shit. Like, do we make a joke about Tom? Do we not? But it was the whole, like, quarterback thread that birthed that really interesting conversation. We got a phone call from Tom to Peyton 2 days before the start of the regular season. These are looks under the hood that you don't get. And learning about people having to play with other people's game balls on the road.
Right.
Like, that was something I didn't even know. So for me, when I'm on the Manning cast, when I was on the preseason Manning cast and I was hearing Peyton and Eli talking about coverages and quarterback stuff, I did not want to get off. I wanted to be like, I can't watch this on TV right now because it's a mock, but can I just stay and listen and learn?
Right.
It's such a cool experience. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say too, what I found fascinating about Brady's thing on Monday was, you know, in my head, I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's Tom Brady. He doesn't need to be doing any of this stuff. He's got a game. Like, I was like, it's so weird he would do that. And, you know, and Eli and Peyton busted his chops about it. Like, he's famous for going to bed at 9 o'clock. He was up till 10. And I was like, I don't understand why he decided. Like, I couldn't figure out. Then he's talking about, he's watching Roby on the Saints talking about all this stuff he does. And he's like, oh, with these 25 plays, this. And I'm like, this is. And then I look and I realize the Patriots are playing the Saints next. I mean, the Bucks are playing the Saints.
Bucks are playing the Saints.
I bet you so he was going to be locked into that game.
Yep.
If that was if that was not a Saints game with the Bucks playing the Saints this week, he would have said, oh, I'll come on another week. Like, I would
honestly
not be surprised if he did that on purpose.
The game as closely because he's having a conversation with those guys. They're taking his brain every which way. Like, he's going to watch that game 150 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it really doesn't matter. And I think more than anything, it's just a chance for him to get reps. And he has a brand that he hasn't had 20 years to, like, think about it. You've had 20 years of greatness and you've only cashed in on like a fraction of it. And you've watched every other player, like, branding, all this stuff. And now, like, all of a sudden you're going to college. You know what I mean? Like, you've had strict parents in high school. Now you're going to college. Like, I'm surprised he's not doing more stuff. But I do want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
I thought Sue Bird was super cool. And people were complaining about Sue Bird. And I was like, well, you were mad because she let the game breathe and waited for them to ask her questions? Like, she's not even an NFL player. Like, she's a Seahawks fan. What did you want her to do? Talk over Peyton and Eli, like, and diagnose plays? I thought she was cool, and I thought it was a nice change of pace. And another thing about this whole thing, people complaining about the Manning cast in any capacity, like, literally, there's another broadcast of the same game. You have opted
into
this.
I haven't seen people complain.
I had people in my mentions complaining about
it. Really?
Yeah.
My only complaint is, it's not a complaint. I don't even have a complaint. I mean, there are things that are weird. Like, Peyton's rooting for the quarterbacks. So, like, he's rude, like he's visibly upset if something bad happened. And it's a little jarring that it's he's just there for the quarterbacks. He doesn't care about the game or the team. But
yeah, well, I'm trying to think if I'm there for the D lineman. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that you like what you like. And my only thing is I want to see a little bit more Peyton and Eli. You know, like you don't have to do guests every 3 minutes.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Because I think the gold, I saw the solid gold in the mock game when I was on the mock game. Maybe they were just like kind of because it wasn't live, they felt like they could just sink into football. Man, that's fun when they do that. And and it can be tough for like a Sue Bird or like, you know, even myself, like when all of a sudden we go into some deep dive on coverage. And I'm, you know, like there was a cover two moment the other night and they nerd out for a minute and a half. That stuff is hard for the guest, but it was really fun as a listener to hear them talk about the things that they're going to talk about in a film room. Like, they don't give that stuff away.
They could easily shrink the amount of time they have a guest on and wouldn't hurt the broadcast at all. I don't have any complaints. I had one complaint this Monday when they did have Brady on. They'll at the end, they're like, oh, we can't think of anything else to ask you. Wait a second. You got the greatest quarterback of all time. You could have him on for 5 hours and have stuff to ask him. I think maybe they were trying to like let him go or something, but I have nothing else to ask
like,
Tom Brady.
This is Tom's bedtime. I mean, like legitimately, he looks very tired.
Yeah. Before I let you go, you mentioned you don't want love on Twitter. You hate Twitter, this and this, and I called you a Twitter superstar. You can't play that game and act like you're so anti-Twitter when you have one of the best running Twitter gags going.
Well, being good at something doesn't mean that I have to like it 23 hours a day. There's an hour a day I like it when we're trolling hockey. And to be honest, when somebody tweeted me last night about, hey, the guy for the Braves broke his leg, you're up. Like I was like in a dugout and I forgot I was on deck. I was like, fuck, dude.
So let me give people a little background in case if people don't know. What Chris will do periodically is he will go on Twitter and troll NHL fans about hockey players not being tough because hockey fans flip out if you say anyone's like tougher than an NHL player. So game one of the World Series Tuesday night, Braves pitcher Charlie Morton gets hit with a comebacker, ends up he has his leg broken, doesn't know it at the time and still throws a bunch of pitchers. So Chris gets on Twitter and says like the two toughest players are NFL players and MLB players.
Just and NHL fans congratulating baseball.
Yeah. And NHL fans being so sensitive then decided to rip Chris.
Well, the only time I really like Twitter and then I don't fairly quickly is like trolling Twitter. So that tells you like, how does that mean I like, you know what I mean? I used to like Twitter when it was like a smaller room and then it got too big. And then I did like, I had to tweet about heavy stuff a lot. And so then I had a lot of people telling me what I should think, telling me I need to talk about this. I need to talk about that. Almost like I worked for them. And there was just this period where I was like, dude, I really want to get off this motherfucker. But the only reason I'm on it is because I have a podcast. And be honest.
Right.
Like, and people don't even really interact with the socials like that. So I'm just like, hey, man.
Right.
So but, I'm like, what am I doing here? It's to troll hockey
and
Penn State lately. I've been trolling Penn State, too. But an hour into it, somebody who I think should know better doesn't get the joke, and that's frustrating in and of itself. I'm like, oh my God, everybody's this dumb?
The bet of the college football weekend is Ohio State minus 19 against Penn State. That game will be 50-14.
Oh, easily. That'd be awesome. I'd love that. I could start trolling again.
Yeah. Last thing, are you getting dressed up for Halloween?
So that sounds like a no, doesn't it?
It sounds like there's a backstory there. That's what
I don't have my costume picked out yet. I'll have something by Saturday.
Kids. Now you have young kids who are like the perfect age for Halloween. Halloween's on a Sunday. How are you going to watch games? Go trick or treating? What are you going to do Sunday, Chris?
That's a tough deal, man. Like we're going to go trick or treating. I'll just have to deal with it. And then we got a pod at night. But you know, a trick or treating is cool, man. It's one of those family things, so I'm not mad. I'm totally good with it. My kids got these crazy costumes, and that's another thing I'm navigating right now is like letting your kid be whatever they want to be because some of their ideas are kind of fucked up.
Your kids are like, how old are your kids? They're like 6 and 2.
Five and two, and you're ripping
your kids for having bad costumes.
It won't stop either. I think that'll continue through the year. Yeah. Through the years.
Well, have fun trick-or-treating Sunday while the Patriots are playing the Chargers.
Oh, come on. I'm going to have it on my phone, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like security detail standing at the road watching the game. All right, buddy.
I appreciate you coming on, and good luck with the pod and Amazon, and keep doing your thing.
Thanks, brother. See you.
All right. Take it easy. All right. It's time for our weekly Train of Thought segment. I bring in my buddy Sal Licata from WFAN Radio, SNY TV in New York, as we do each and every week. Sal, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm well. I've got some interesting topics for this week. We have some topics this week, so I'm excited.
Yeah, last year you were down because we didn't really have anything. Last week I had no thoughts.
I've got some thoughts now. The first thought is this. I have a lot of thoughts on this. Saturday, Illinois, Penn State. I'm watching it because of financial reasons. And the game goes to overtime. One overtime is done, still tied. Two overtimes is done, still tied. I change a channel. I'm flipping around to another game. I go back to it. And one of the teams is running a two-point conversion. But the score is the same. And I have no idea what's going on. And I'm like, well, ESPN, the score bug must be wrong. Flip away, go back to it. Now the other team's running a two-point conversion. I have no idea what's going on. I felt like the biggest fraud in the universe. I had absolutely no idea that the college, I watch college every single Saturday from noon to midnight. I had no idea the rule for overtime was that when they get to the third overtime, the teams just run two-point conversions. It is the dumbest, stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. The game, what that overtime ended up becoming was such a joke. I cannot believe something this dumb exists in sports. We're going to two-point conversions to settle a game where for 60 minutes they beat their brains in?
I was not aware of the rule either. And honestly, I've never been a big fan of the college football rules. I don't mind how the overtime is in the NFL now. I always thought it was cheapened. And people would go nuts. Oh, what a game. The back and forth scoring. Yeah, well, what do you expect?
If you think the regular rule is cheap,
right,
then what do you think of this?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's just not football. So I don't know how you can possibly, so it becomes a, you know, in hockey, the equivalent would be the shootout. So now it becomes a two-point contest. I mean, that's what we're doing here. Which team's going to convert on the two-point attempt? That makes no sense to me.
I've never seen anything so dumb in my life in sports.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And then it went seven overtimes because
nobody could convert. Right.
At first, no one could convert. Then they were converting. And I cannot believe someone came up with that rule and implemented it. I know.
I don't even know. Do we know when that started? Because I don't recall.
I think this year.
Okay. That would make a little more sense. I was not familiar with that at all. I don't watch college football as much as you do. I'll watch it occasionally. I pay attention to it, but I'm not locked in every single Saturday. But that rules, come on now. And I wouldn't be shocked to see them change it back because you can't keep that and have games decided like that with 2-point conversions. It's ridiculous.
And I guess the point was
that they field goal kicking contest.
So what I guess from what I read or someone told me is that, you know, there was a game with Texas A&M and some and another team that went like eight overtimes and they want to avoid that and this and that. Well, how is this any better? I mean, this is just dumb. You've got to come up. You can't just play an extra period or something. It's ridiculous, that rule.
But what was wrong with
conversions?
I didn't like the old format, but what was wrong with it? Why? Because of safety.
I guess
because
there was one game where they went to like eight overtimes or seven overtimes, so they thought that was too much and they tried to change it.
But that's the way that they had that set in place, it's the equal advantage for each team. The whole look, because we're talking about player safety, right? That's the issue.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. So then have them kick field goals. I mean, really, right. But you can't have the two-point conversion contest like
so
that.
Dumb. All right, another topic I need you to help me with, because you're a diehard Knicks fan. I know you've been watching every game this season. Mm-hmm. Because you're a radio host in New York, you're all pumped up because the Knicks are good for a change. I casually pay attention. What is Bing Bong? What is this Bing Bong thing? I have no idea what's going on, and now it's on the back page of the Daily News. I don't know what it means.
So did you see this ridiculous? Now we're going to be sounding like old men as usual. There's this ridiculous video that was circulating. It went viral. Did you see it with the Knicks fans after game one?
Oh, like screaming and cursing?
Yeah, exactly.
That video is exactly why I don't go to sporting events anymore.
It honestly makes me not want to go either. And Knicks fans, they're nuts. Now, I love the Knicks. I'm happy that they're doing well. But that was So I never even got through the full video. But
me either. I watched 5 seconds and I'm like, this is why I don't go to games, and I shut it off.
Agreed. I don't need to hear people yelling and screaming and cursing. Right. It's just not to me. I don't find it funny. I didn't, whatever, but it went viral, right? So I believe it comes from that. There was a funny clip in there of some fan talking trash, and I think he said something like bing bong. And the only reason why I know about that is because after the Magic beat the Knicks on Sunday at the Garden, the Magic Twitter account tweeted out a gif of that guy with the words bing bong and the guy, you know, the whatever that guy. So I believe that it comes from that, and now it's taken off a world of its own.
Okay, so now I guess it's from that video. I had because it was on the back page of the Daily News today.
Yeah. No, it's
and
it's,
I was like, I got to find out what this means. And I didn't bother Googling it because I think I was like doing something else. And I'm like, oh, I'll ask Sal.
Yeah, it's from that crazy video that got a ton of play. Gotcha. That went viral. Okay. With the crazy thing.
Another topic, World Series. Are you into this World Series? I got asked by one of the media outlets. Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot. It's so mean. But I was asked to do like a ratings prediction. I don't think the ratings are going to be good at all, just because nationally, I don't think this matchup is going to entice people. Are you into this matchup?
Not really. I mean, I was into it last night. I texted you before the game, you're going to bet this baseball. And that's because I wanted to be into it. It's the World Series. This is it. The final series, final few games of the baseball year. I want to be into it. I'm going to root for the Braves just because I don't want to see the Astros win. But that game last night, if you put it this way, if you were going based off of game one, am I going to be into the series? That game did nothing for me. Even as somebody who had the Braves and had the over 3.5, thanks to you, I still was like, I'm just not interested. So I don't like the bullpenning. I think that loses its luster. There's no real, Dusty Baker's a storyline. Okay, the Braves for the first time since 99 back in the World Series. There's no real juice to me. So I guess overall, long story short, would be no, I'm not really into it.
Yeah, two things. The website that asked me for a ratings prediction is Programming Insider. And I said, like, I think 11.3 million, which would be down from 2019, because I just don't think this is a matchup that's resonating across the country. So funny story, last night at like 7:15, Sal texts me, are you betting the baseball? I had no intention of betting the baseball. The baseball on the game one on Tuesday night was going to be a TV2 event, and I was going to catch up on some shows on TV1. And Sal said, are you betting it? And that made me go check the line. And because I have a problem, I ended up betting over 3.5 runs for the Braves, and it ended up winning. So I was happy that Sal pushed me in that direction.
In three innings, by the way. That was a great call by you.
Right. And then the game got to 5-0, and I was like, I'm out. I'm going to bed. Like, I'm not staying up for that.
Also, that's another thing, a great point. And I know it gets talked about forever. Russo's been on, Chris Russo's been on this for years. The games do start too late, and now they're going even longer because they take longer. Come on now. And I'm an adult. How is that game going to appeal to a kid?
I don't. Listen, I'm old too, but you can't complain about an 8 o'clock start time.
But these games take over 4 hours.
Well, that's the game. The problem isn't the start time. It's the
Why can't it start at 7 o'clock? It's got to start at 10 after 8. Even if it started early, at 7.
Because here's why. Here's why. This is why. And I hate to say this to people, but this is what the fact of the matter is. If any game, it doesn't have to be that game. If any World Series game is 2-2 in the 8th inning and it's midnight, the ratings are going to be high. The ratings go up on the East Coast as you get later if the game is close. Now, 5-0, that's a different story. My only thing is this. I get what you're saying about the games being too long, but I don't think you can knock Fox for starting it at 8 o'clock. They're not going to start a game much earlier than that. I mean, 7:30.
But are they? Yeah, that's fine.
It in prime time in case there's a close game late.
But it would be still, I mean, you're figuring these games are going 3.5, 4 hours, 11, 12. I mean, a lot of, and by the way, I'm a night person, so it really doesn't impact me. But I think about kids, they're not being able to watch it. You have the numbers, by the way? What were the numbers for that game?
I don't have that yet, so.
I'd be curious to see, but I have to agree, it would probably be down.
Another topic I wanted to discuss with you. You've been, I don't want to use the word on the fence. That's not fair. Let me think of the word to use. You've been moderately into the Manning cast. You're not a week in, week out, watching every minute of it. You check it out. I'm curious because I thought the Manning cast would get a big rating in terms of, let me rephrase that. I thought the Manning cast would have bigger ratings than they had in their previous episode in week 3, because my logic was that Monday night game was so bad and so unwatchable thanks to two inept quarterbacks that that I thought people would go to the Mannings for some entertainment. It didn't work out that way. In week two and three, they got 1.8, 1.9 million viewers, and then they got 1.6 for this week. Now, some people said maybe it was because they took 3 weeks off. But my thing is, the worse the game is, the better it is for the Mannings. This week was a great episode with Marshawn Lynch. Tom Brady was off the charts. What did you watch any Mannings this week?
I did, but I do think that the layoff hurt them. And I do think that the quality or lack thereof of the game hurt them, because that's a matchup where, you know me, I'm in a football, I can't get enough of it. That game was not even on my radar on Monday night. So I had no interest in it. And then I'm checking tweets as I'm watching. I think I was watching the Rangers hockey, and I see that Brady was on. So I flipped over right before half, and I saw some of the clips of Marshawn Lynch. Then once I put it on to watch Brady, from then on, I love those guys. It's been an entertaining, it's been a nice buildup, and I was into it after the initial, you know, hit in week one where I thought it was going to be a disaster. Then they started to settle in. As the weeks build up, I got more into it. I think the layoff hurt, and I think the fact that it was a crap game that had no interest, that right. took a lot away from it. But I do really enjoy watching those two.
It was eye-opening for me this week, because it does show you need a good game. People are not watching Geno Smith. I'm not going to turn into the Mannings while Geno. I mean, it's just...
It doesn't matter how good they are. Yeah. Real quick on this, two things. Number one, how are they going to top these guests? I mean, how are you topping Tom Brady and even Marshawn Lynch? You throw them, they've had top-notch guests here. They've already exhausted the options through however many weeks they've been on.
Keep in mind, they're only doing 10, and they've done 4 already, so they have 6 left. Yeah, they've had Brady, they've had LeBron James.
Right. Also, I will say that Brady was great, and some of the other guests have been great. I think sometimes it's too much with the guests. I'd rather just watch the Mannings talk about the game. I want Eli. That's the whole point. Yeah, a guest occasionally. They don't need one every quarter and on forever. The other thing is, this Monday.
Let me just say one thing. It's very funny that you just said that, because I just had Chris Long on, which you didn't hear, but people listening may have heard. And he said the same exact thing about maybe less time with the guests, more time with the Mannings. So it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's the selling point. So one guest, and again, I'm not saying that they've been bad, because a lot of them have been really good, but sometimes I tune out when I hear too many of them. The other thing is, this Monday, this goes back to what Marshawn and you were talking about weeks ago. This Monday, they're playing the Giants. Now, the Chiefs are playing the Giants. So for me, locally, I got to pay attention to the Giants specifically. Right. However, I'm intrigued to hear Eli and specifically Eli, but Eli and Peyton talk about the Giants and that matchup with Kansas City, but it's not, you're not really watching the game with that feed. So I'm kind of torn. I don't know how I'm going to watch that yet between the Chiefs and the Giants.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because you have Eli, who was a Giant during a Giant game, and then you have, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs struggling. So you think Peyton's going to give you something good there. So it's a good week for them.
Now, will you watch? Yeah, I know you don't care necessarily about the Giants. Will you watch that on the Manning cast?
I will absolutely watch them. The Giants are impossible to watch. They are a horrific team to watch. So I will watch the Manning cast for sure.
Right.
Last topic and the most important topic. Did you watch the season premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm this week?
I did. I am fresh off of it. I just watched it about 15 minutes ago. I finished.
Overall thoughts?
I loved it. I thought it was a... vintage traditional type. I mean, put it this way. I enjoyed the 40 minutes of TV where I was laughing out loud at certain moments. And that's all I think you could ask for Curb. And I didn't have any problem with the way that, you know, we talked about it before with the pandemic stuff. I thought it was handled fine. I love it all. Leon, Larry, all of it. I enjoyed the first episode.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. Loved the stuff with Susie and the plopper, and she's a, you know, the plopper. I loved John Hamm's appearance. I loved the stuff with Larry walking through the door, and then Luce Luda's when I have sex with him. The only thing I didn't love is the stuff with the young Larry's show and he gets blackmailed into giving that woman a shot on the show. I thought that was a little much, but everything else was phenomenal.
Right, but now they're setting that up, obviously, to see how that plays out, I would assume, the rest of the way. Yeah, I could understand what you're saying, the Netflix angle with all that.
John Hamm is so good on that show.
Yeah, I love him. I was pleased to see Lucy Liu. I had no idea. That was a nice surprise. Now, I'm assuming that's one and done from her, because it seemed like that their relationship would have come to the end there. But that was nice. I enjoyed it. Overall, I thought it was a good episode. Now, how many episodes do they have here? Do we know?
I think it's 10.
Okay. Usually it's around.
I think it's 10. Yeah. The best line of the night came from Larry to John Hamm, but I don't think I can say it because someone will probably say it's offensive. But when when John Hamm first gets into some of the stuff he's doing, Larry says something. That was where I laughed the hardest.
I liked where, aside from the walking into the door, which everybody can relate, maybe it was screen door or whatever, I liked what he was talking about acting. What's the big deal? You sit there, you read a line, you make a face.
Right. That was good. That was good. Yeah, yeah.
Anybody can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good first episode. All right. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you next week. Appreciate the time.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Yep. I'll talk to you soon. Yeah, I did enjoy that curb. That was fun. Check in later.
All right. Take it easy. All right. My thanks to Chris Long and Sal Licata. Before I let you go, if you missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, go into the archives, check them out, subscribe and download. Last week, Steve Levy, play-by-play man for Monday Night Football, NHL on ESPN, was on the podcast with Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was a must-listen if you're a Curb fan. John Oran from Sports Business Journal and Alan Sepinwall from Rolling Stone 2 weeks ago, Kyle Brandt 3 weeks ago, Stephen A. Smith 4 weeks ago, all right here on the SI Media Podcast, so check those out if you missed any of those interviews. All right, that wraps it up for this week. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.